Welcome to Openly Gamer Theater's production of The Dragon Variation, a Shadowrun roleplay drama.
This is Shannon. I'm playing Nightfall.
This is Dan, and I'm playing Fastback.
This is Mike. I will be playing Frenzy.
This is Brandon. I'm playing Talisman.
This is Brandy. I'm playing Poison Lily.
This is Jason, and I'm playing Astral Glide.
I'm Sean, and I'm playing Blockade.
Be warned, the following content may not be suitable for all audiences.
You ever met a Decker from Montreal? The short answer is no. Why is that? Because of the Sabanjur, a cabal of technomancers that are fanatically devoted to one man, Brother Voix. If Shoko Asahara and Jim Jones had a love child, it'd be Brother Voix. One way you can describe him is digital prophet. Another, a deep resonance guru. And yet another way to label Brother Voix is fucking piece of shit. Like most dangerous cult leaders, Voix preys on the lost and the vulnerable, luring technomancers from all around the globe with the promise of safety and community. Then once he's got them, he hooks them on drugs, or BTL, fucks with their heads until they'll do absolutely anything for him. Anything. Normally I give two fucks about a diaper-wearing putz preaching some apocalyptic God of the Matrix bullshit. Problem is, Nightfall is one of his most ardent followers. He rescued her from the streets, showed her that she wasn't alone in the world, and thoroughly indoctrinated her into his cause. Remember earlier when I said that Nightfall collected big brother, father types? Voix is the measuring stick by which she gauges every other man in her life. He taught her to prey on the kindness of others, to become a manipulator, a user. In regards to Brother Voix, I'm fairly certain of two things. One, his real name is Nisuyi Moyo. And two, he killed Glide and Talisman's little brother Tailgunner. Shortly after Tommy's apparent overdose, Nightfall dropped off the grid. She made it sound like she was grieving, but really she went back home. To him.
Nightfall's persona sat in silent contemplation at the feet of Brother Voix, her oldest friend and confidant. Very few could bear to be that close to him, a persona so bright, awesome in its purity. She looked about the temple. It was one of her favorites, perfectly rendered, glittering gold prayer room with blood-red cushions arranged on the floor. The soothing voice of Brother Voix caused her to look up at him, filling her with an inner peace that she always felt when in his presence.
I heard about your friend's passing. I'm sorry.
You know he wasn't really a friend.
You brought him to my attention. It was my understanding that you were friends.
You know why I was bringing him to attention. It was because he was looking into us.
Regardless, I know you had a rapport with him. So, he overdosed?
Yeah, that's what I heard. As far as I could tell, it's been confirmed.
Were you aware that I had spoken with him?
No, I figured you might have.
He sought me out, seeking a cure for his condition. I tried telling him that what he saw as a malady could have easily been seen as a blessing. All he had to do was open his eyes and see it.
That is true.
He was less than pleased with what I had to say.
Her gaze fell to the floor, and she looked at the motes of pure resonance dance about his toes. She smiled and looked up at him.
Saw the same thing I did.
That's right. He did. I wish to speak of that again. Please tell me what you saw.
It was beautiful. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen.
He saw the face of Usir.
He was touched as well.
As evidenced by his transformation?
Transformation?
The dark fluid. It is how Usir anoints those he has chosen, but cannot submerge and speak with him directly.
That makes a lot of sense. He had such a great opportunity, and he wasted it.
We shall see. Tomas became very interested in us. How we serve Usir, and how we were chosen to usher in his rebirth.
Do you think that his intentions had switched and were no longer malicious?
I am not certain. I do know that he wished to see Usir's face again. That much was clear. It was the euphoria of being so close to him. Seeing his face that Tomas craved. Usir is getting closer. His sound resonates throughout the dissonance.
You don't have to tell me that. I'm still trying to make sense of it all. Is he going to show up more often?
It is said that he will be preceded by a herald, one who shares his nature. It is vital that you understand Usir, his prophecy, his purpose, so that you are prepared to welcome him.
How can I be best suited to welcome him? What should I do?
You must open your heart and your eyes. Watch for the signs of Usir and those who bear his mark.
Will they have the same tattoo?
No. You misunderstand. The mark of Usir is the ichor, the black fluid. It anoints those he has chosen. It bears his divine essence, and they become his eyes into our world. They are guided by him until the vessel has been prepared and he can join us.
And what's that?
A being that incorporates all states. Physical, mystical, and digital.
But that's impossible.
That is what you are taught to believe. The faithful, they know the truth.
I suppose if anyone can achieve it, it would only be Usir.
Many have failed in their attempts in touching Usir. Their labors only bore abomination. Some used blood magic to fuel their attempt, but were only capable of creating unstable, unliving creatures of flesh and machine. You must beware these false heralds, and destroy any that you discover. Then, there was your experience. That was the closest anyone had come to achieving his rebirth.
Surely there has to be someone else in the Sabanjur who has seen the face of our god. I can't be the only one.
I have seen him. Once. Many, many years ago. But there were no others. Even among our kind. Only I have been able to submerge so deeply.
Nightfall sat in silence, a question on her lips. But she couldn't seem to get it out.
You seem puzzled by something. Ask your question, and unburden your soul.
The vats, and all those children, are they necessary?
Perhaps. Drawing the essence from the living is a vital component of his rebirth. It is unsettling, I know. The vats that you saw were the work of a man who I knew very well. A friend. I had told him the prophecy of Usir in an effort to enlighten him. He betrayed my trust and used that knowledge to try and empower himself and those he worked for. He attempted to replicate the vessel. Not to bathe in the glory of Usir, but to trap him, steal his power. But Gobe's plan failed, thanks to you and your friends. That is why you are Usir's most beloved. When you shut down the host, foiling the trap, you allowed him to gaze upon this world for the first time. But since there was no true vessel prepared, he had to return to the dissonance.
Do you think he'll speak to us again? to show us the way?
Of this, I have no doubt. I believe the vessel will make itself known to you when the time has come.
What will the vessel be like?
You will know. If you remain true, you will know.
Blyde stood frozen, transfixed. He stared into the face of the unconscious Amaniel. He'd met Lily's mom once before, long ago, though his recollection of the meeting wasn't the best.
That's because he was shit-faced. Everyone who knows anything about the Seattle Elven community knows the name Callista Oakwood Greenleaf, esteemed dean of UW's Thaumaturgy School. When it came out that Lily was her daughter, Blyde freaked out a bit. When the time came for him to meet her, he freaked out a lot. As I recall, it was actually really funny. Blyde's a guy who has questionable morality and virtually no filter as it is. Loosened his inhibitions with copious amounts of booze. Man, drunk Blyde is the best.
Blyde's eyes blinked as Fastback's voice cut through the shock.
Put the hood back on her. We don't know what she's capable of.
Oh yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Oh, we know what she's capable of. Put the hood back on her.
If she opens her eyes, I'm gonna shoot her.
Blockade, can you get that thing? Bring it to the van.
Yep.
Hey, grab a couple of those commando dudes, too.
Got them.
As soon as they load up the van, we tear out.
What about the kids?
I can remotely drive their car.
Lily watched through the open side door of Fastback's van as the others piled in. Her eyes lingered on the form of her mother in the seat beside her. A slow, boiling rage building inside. She looked as Nightfall climbed into the front passenger side seat, head sagging as she jumped back into the Matrix. Now that they'd recovered their objective, Lily knew that the Technomancer was not only covering their tracks, but also combing the system for pay data. She turned her head as the parked van rocked to one side. Blockade had dropped the lifeless form of the monstrosity they'd killed onto the floorboard of the van, followed closely by the body of one of the black-clad commandos. Blyde climbed in after Blockade, and closed the side door as the van sped down the service road. He squatted, his orange-trimmed black boots momentarily slipping in the viscous fluid oozing from the creature's destroyed head, and from the back of the commando.
Look at this, guys.
Blyde.
Huh?
There's a med kit under the seat. Grab it. There's a specimen container. Get some.
Okay.
Lily saw Glyde's hands shake as he gathered the samples from the corpses, taking special care to get the freshest from around the black box set into the commando's back. She barely registered the whir of the van's turrets as they locked onto the patrol cruisers blocking the road and loosed two wire-guided missiles.
That's fucking bullshit, man. What the fuck is this?
Maybe Lily's mom knows what this stuff is.
Their comm channel clicked on as Nightfall, still hot-simmed, spoke to them. Lily instinctively turned her eyes to the Technomancer's inert meat body.
I found two things in the host database that are really interesting. First, the cargo container that the kids were in. I saw a purchase order with that container's number on it. The buyer's name? Joel Simpson.
That sounds fake.
That's because it is. I ran it. It's an alias of Jesse Schultes.
Ah.
Good thing we know where he's at.
Yep.
A truck's scheduled to pick it up at 6 a.m. Destination? Mount Shasta, California.
Mount Shasta used to be the home of Hestaby.
That's like a 10-hour drive from here.
Second thing? Watch this.
She patches a SimSense recording that she found in the host of War Chief watching the torture and interrogation of Amaniel.
Ooh.
The interrogator is Apex Black.
What?
I'll fucking kill him.
The view showed Amaniel as she stared wide-eyed at the shadowy form before her as she sat bound to a high-back plastic chair. As the interrogator spoke, Amaniel's mouth quivered as if she silently repeated the words to herself.
Listen to me. Tell me about the Indomino. What is this activation sequence? What did Hestaby look to gain from it? Did she make contact? Do it again.
Wooly entered the field of vision, a large syringe in his meaty hand. Without much preparation, he plunged the large gauge needle into Amaniel's neck, and she silently screamed.
Enhanced interrogation techniques are mostly ineffective against mages. Well, good ones anyway. A lot of them have endured worse during their initiation rituals. So you can't simply rectally rehydrate a seasoned mage and get what you need. Most effective is sick an insect shaman on them. But they're kind of hard to work with. Short of that, psychotropic awakened drugs usually do the trick.
Willie stepped back into the shadows, and Amaniel's head lolled, her eyes glazed in drug-induced haze.
Tell me what you know about Project Geschlossenheit.
What the fuck does it? Is that German?
So while we're driving out, I'm going to open up the comm to the van behind me that's full of kids.
Lily, can you talk to them? See if they know anything?
Lily saw Glyde's eyes turn from Talisman, looking to a point just over his brother's right shoulder. She'd seen the reaction enough to know what it meant. Rune had returned from whatever task he was assigned and passed along information to Talisman.
Hey, every one of those kids has magical potential of some kind.
Whoa.
The vid screen activated, and the feed went live. They'd glanced at each other. Rescuing children with magical potential locked in cargo containers was eerily familiar.
I'm sorry this happened to you, but you're safe now. I just need to ask you a couple of questions.
The screen showed the gathered children huddled in the panel van they had initially used for their cover story. Each child silently stared at them. The oldest, a troll boy about 11 years old, nodded as Lily spoke.
Do you remember anything about what happened to you or who took you or why?
Where are we?
Okay, well, right now you're in Seattle, but I'm not sure who took you.
Oh. We were told we were being moved to another orphanage, because the one we lived in was getting shut down.
We'll find a place safe for you, but do you remember anything about the people that came and got you?
They were humans. That's about it.
Behind him, a small orc girl of about 5 or 6 tugged at the boy's grimy shirt to get his attention.
Tell about the camp.
Oh, yeah. We were at a camp. It's where we got into the truck.
What orphanage were you taken from?
Madame Renard's.
Ah, Drek. That's in Montreal.
Block, you know a place I can take these kids?
5 successes.
Okay.
Well, I know this orc outreach program. It's not far from here. I know the guy that's running the place.
Patch me the address.
I send the van off.
Lily stoically watched as the panel van turned onto the freeway entrance and faded into the night. Nightfall's voice broke the silence.
We need a place to lay low, Chummer.
We'll use my garage.
Frenzy sat enjoying the purr of his Ferrari Diabolus's engine as it idled. Hands resting on the leather-wrapped steering wheel, he relished its aesthetic, the status it represented.
Oh man, there's nothing Frenzy loved more in this entire world than that car. He drove it like a goddamn maniac too. The one and only time I rode in it with him, he ran 4 lights and drifted every fucking corner. I swear, the guy has a death wish or something.
An all-too-familiar chime sounded. Frenzy opened his eyes, nearly lulled to sleep in his rare moment of bliss. He rubbed his face and activated his AR window, projecting it onto the inner windshield. A stern, angular face appeared. Dark eyes hooded by a furrowed brow covered in bushy, serious eyebrows.
Hello, number 14.
8.
Proceed with your report.
Some information that's going to be troubling to the lodge.
Go on.
A third party got involved.
A third party? Whom do they represent?
Still unknown. They were bearing these black boxes on them, which were familiar. The cybered one was an Oni, I think.
Interesting.
Well, that's not the most interesting part. The target of our mission turned out to be Amaniel.
Amaniel? What is her role in this?
We're still trying to figure that out, but she's evidently the mother of one of the people I'm running with.
I see. That could be advantageous to our cause. Do you know Rukan Tigra?
Tiger Shark? Isn't he dead?
We suspect that he is, yes.
Let me guess, his death has something to do with this.
We embedded him with a group that was operating in Montreal. They were contracted agents of Loafwear, tasked to break into an abandoned vault once owned by Cross Applied Technologies. It supposedly housed R&D prototypes, pet projects of Lucien Cross himself. Tigra and this team entered the lost vault and uncovered its dark secret.
What did they find?
A black monolith. Guarded by a creature of immense power. Tigra called it an Oni. Not the rare variant of orc indigenous to Japan, but an actual eastern demon.
A monolith, you say? This is all starting to form a clearer picture.
Tigra's report said that the monolith was drawing vast amounts of power from the surrounding grid, as well as siphoning life essence from an egg. A dragon egg.
But which dragon's egg?
We do not know. After completing their task, they were then sent to Eridu, Iraq. A team of archaeologists had uncovered an ancient Sumerian temple. The scholars were pulled out, and Tigra's team were brought in. They were told that the temple was actually a hoard, the lost hoard of a long-dead dragon. Their objective was to recover a petrified egg and give it to Loafwear. Tigra never returned.
And the others?
Missing. It is our belief that the similarities between your ordeal 10 years ago, Tigra's mission, and your current situation are not coincidental. All of the data has been thoroughly analyzed. Tigra was not sent to a hoard at all. It was a tomb. The tomb of Lotan. Primordial beast of the Age of Dragons or older. A mythical beast of many names. Lotan, Tiamat, Leviathan. If Loafwear somehow recovered an egg from the tomb of a primordial creature, what would he use it for? What are your intentions moving forward?
I will keep following the course I'm on.
Very good. If you uncover Loafwear's plan, the Black Lodge must know what it is.
Of course.
Motherfucker. Even I didn't know Frenzy was associated with them. That shady son of a bitch.
The metallic tang of the recycled air stung Lily's nose as she watched Blockade set her mother onto a stool. She still wore the straitjacket and the mage hood, which would remain in place until they were ready. Lily leaned back on a wall console and looked around at the sophisticated gear that made up the basement of Fastback's garage.
He calls it his nerve center. It's not quite the Batcave, but it does have a lot of cool toys. There's not a lot out there about Fastback's past. Not before he burst on the scene, and when he did, it was in a big fucking way. He was the protege of street legend Genzo Watanabe, a guy notorious for being ruthless and deadly. Why or how their partnership began, no one knows. One day, rumor got around that Rigor X had an apprentice, and that was that. Now Fastback isn't a fucking soulless sociopath like X, not by a long shot. But every once in a while, someone will piss him off just enough, and you see a bit of the old mentor shine through. Go back a few ticks and check out how his drones treated that moron sniper. That was full-on MCT Zero Zone, baby. What he did learn from his time with Genzo was his cold efficiency. Most riggers I've met are a bit dispassionate, aloof. I blame the level of augmentation they've inflicted on their bodies. Dropping your awareness into a piece of machinery's gotta fuck with you, on a deep level. A kind of cyber-induced Asperger's. Anyway, Fastback's more than that. He's one of those guys who's seen the world as a giant equation, a riddle, a chess match. Like those eggheads who are so locked in, they forget to eat or how to tie their shoes.
Amaniel stirred as Glyde gingerly removed the gag strap of the mage hood, though the blindfold was still in place. Preventing her from casting any spells that required line of sight, she was still very dangerous. She could call for spirit help, but Talisman and Rune were guarding against that. Lily pursed her lips in irritation at the thought of Frenzy's absence. They hadn't seen him since he was dropped at the scatter point and went comms dark. They would have to proceed without him. She nodded to Blockade, who peeled the clear plastic film off the back of a stim patch and lightly rubbed it onto Amaniel's cheek.
Wakey, wakey, mommy.
Lilandriel.
Mother.
Where am I?
Safe.
Matthew.
Oh, yeah. Recognize my voice. How you doing, Callie?
Why am I restrained?
Well, that's kind of her choice. I'm not really worried about you.
I see. Lilandriel?
Yeah, Mom, I got some questions. First of all, Amaniel, why have I never heard anything about that my whole entire life? Dad was always the one that was active in Tyr politics.
I have gone by many names. Some more important than others.
Why were you taken? Who were you taken by?
Ah, it is clear to me now. This is to be an interrogation. In the interest of efficiency, perhaps we should first establish what details you have. Then I can fill in any gaps of knowledge.
Ah, yeah, let's do that. Let's tell her what we know. That sounds like a good idea. Nope.
Very well. I was abducted by a group funded by Sader Krupp. It seems that my activities have attracted some attention. Goldmaster, no doubt, saw an opportunity to remove a piece off the Great Board, and took it.
Are you still tied to Hestaby, if you're Amaniel?
She is my mother. Regardless of circumstances, good daughters are always loyal to their mothers.
Lily's hand raised as if to deliver an open-handed blow, but she stopped. She steeled herself with a deep breath, and then leaned in again.
Are you still in contact with her, or did you renounce her like father?
Your father? He never renounced her. What he did publicly, distancing himself and his foundation from my mother, a purely political strategy, done at my behest, to protect him, his family, you.
You suddenly care about me after 12 years, that's nice.
You are a spiteful, blind little girl, living in your own fantasy world. All of those imagined slights, the perceived neglected whimpers, the cries for attention that you're so quick to throw in my face, just proves how self-absorbed and obtuse you truly are. No matter what you think of me, Lilandriel, I have never stopped caring about you.
Just didn't have the time for me.
The screen pops on the wall, and I play back the footage of Apex.
Thank you, James, for showing me that my daughter's taste in classless flunkies hasn't changed.
What did Andominal mean again?
Andominal in Elvish means Heaven's Gate.
As he says this, the Andominal, this Heaven's Gate, and I cut over to the footage of the other Johnson that we've got that we interrogated, and he says basically the exact same thing.
If you're trying to help me and keep me safe, then tell me what I've gotten into.
Very well. I will start from the beginning. My mother named me Amaniel when I was presented to her in my infancy, 5,000 years ago.
Fuck.
Over the years, I have gone by many names. Kalistra Oakwood, Freya Goldenhair, Froya Hellblonde are but a few. But Amaniel holds the most significance, the most power. As for the cause of my current situation, I learned that a friend of mine, named Mylon Talis, was secretly a member of a magical group called the Black Lodge.
She says Mylon Talis, I put the video of his corpse up there.
Talus, under the orders of the Black Lodge, used his family connections, in association with me, to sell Tyr secrets to their enemies. When I was certain of my intel, I confronted him, and learned of a much deeper conspiracy. One involving the Black Lodge, a group called the Sabanjur, and Seder Krupp.
What's Sabanjur mean in French?
The Pure Ones. And it's not really French, it's kind of an Elvish-French hybrid.
I executed Mylon Talus for his betrayal. Before I could get to safety, I was ambushed. Talus obviously was able to call for help before I ended him. The man questioning me about the Andominal was the leader of the group who took me.
Apex Black.
Yes. I believe...
Do you know why they are taking these metahuman children with magical capabilities? And what this black fluid is?
Do not interrupt me, Lilandriel.
Lily's lunge was caught by Glyde, who pulled her away from Amaniel. The only reaction from the bound witch was a slight curling at the corner of her lips.
Settle, settle. We're good, we're good. You're being rude. This is your mom, okay? Just be cool. Be cool.
I have every right to be rude for all the shit she put me through.
Glyde held her by one elbow as Lily stretched forward and pointed a finger directly in Amaniel's face.
She is not my mother.
You wound me, child. Your feelings are important to you, though they cloud your ability to see the bigger picture. By all means, continue to vilify me if it balms your wounds. Now, to get back to what is truly important. I first learned of the Andominal when my husband and I did a run on Seder Krupp in 51. In a project file cataloging the research and reconnaissance of Hestaby's closest guarded secret. That project was called Geschlossenheit. According to the file, in very basic terms, it is believed to be a gateway into a deep metaplane.
Talking like a stargate?
Exactly. Some believe it is a door to Shambhala, a plane of enlightenment, the convergence of three realities, physical, spiritual, and some other, not easily defined. From this doorway, a being called the Ajita will come and purge the unclean from the world.
So what are the unclean?
Everyone. There is another belief that the Andominal is actually an ancient Theran transport system.
A what?
Hidden gates, allowing instantaneous travel to points all over the globe. The knowledge of how they are used, even activated, have been lost, even among the ancient ones. It is accepted that the Theran Empire built underground cities. According to the Geschlossenheit files, Lofwehr believed that there was one such city beneath Mount Shasta, called Telos.
Underneath a volcano?
Yes. The project leader of Geschlossenheit was a man named Kenzu Kadora. Your father, myself, and our friends Beast and Manhunter extracted him from Seder Krupp and gave him to my mother, who he served until his death in 63. Then, 8 months ago, we started hearing about this strange new technology. Miniature black monoliths mounted on the backs of people, matching Kudora designs. Ares, Seder Krupp, as technology, all scrambling to produce it, and doing what they can to prevent the others from perfecting it.
So what are the miniature black monoliths? Does that mean that they're being controlled by a rigger? Like drone riggers?
Basically.
So why the fuck aren't you controlling these things? You know, like hacking them or something?
This is the next level shit. This technology exists, and I could buy it. It's expensive. But they have figured out how to operate on a completely different frequency that is unhackable through the Matrix.
Recently, my mother was expelled from the Dragon Council. Her hoards confiscated, distributed among its members, her home destroyed. The assets claimed by Lofwehr, the ruins of the Mount Shasta complex, and the vault beneath. Andominal. Which brings us back to Mylon Talus and the conspiracy. There is an element within Seder Krupp intent on opening the Andominal, allowing the horrors from the deep metaplanes into this world. Per my mother's instructions, I began tapping anyone whose loyalty was assured and called in favors no matter how ancient owed her. It was a desperate move, an effort to delay things until the proper pieces were in place. One such piece was my brother. He was tasked with uncovering as many of the details as he could and put a stop to it.
Who's your brother?
Harleoquin.
Now get the fuck out of here.
I play back the footage of Aaron the scribe hiring us.
When I was taken, agents of my mother asked Aaron to intervene. What my brother learned was this. Kenzu Kodora successfully uploaded his consciousness into a specialized cyber deck. Using a technique he refined from the notes of a being called Quicksilver, an agent of Transys Neuronet, who was the first to even attempt it. Kodora's digital consciousness came into contact with a being in the deep resonance, something dark and malicious. This entity is behind those who wish to open the Andominal. My brother also learned of the black monoliths, the gates, foci for astral rifts that require immense power to activate. Something strong in life essence, something strong with magic potential. The best fuel source, dragon eggs. The corrupting presence of the monoliths poisons the mana around them, attracting horror and atrocity. My brother believed that all trails led back to Mount Shasta. It is the focal point, the master gate, the one capable of opening the rest. Unfortunately, while investigating this, he was captured. So, now we come to it. You can unbind me now, and we can discuss the reason I gathered you together in the first place, and the job I have for you.
I think she needs to be tied up anymore.
I'll cut her bonds. Wouldn't want mommy dearest to be uncomfortable.
I wish to discuss the terms of your contract in a more appropriate setting.
I flash Sundos on the screen.
May I have a comm link, please?
Oh, hold on a second. What do you think?
She can have one of my burners. I have plenty of them.
You just need a line, or?
I wish to contact Aaron.
I patch him through. He gave us a number to call.
Go ahead.
It's me, old friend.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice again.
And yours as well. The next phase has begun.
I understand. I'll send a car.
Amaniel's eyes bore into Lily's for a moment, then turned to Fastback.
Is there somewhere I can get cleaned up before you deliver me to your Mr. Johnson?
There's a full shower in the back.
I'm done here for now.
As her mother stepped through the back door, shutting it behind her, Lily turned and shared a look with Fastback. They needed to finish their current job, which meant making the drop and getting paid, before they would even consider whatever her mother, Amaniel, had in store for them. Glyde awoke with a start as Talisman's elbow poked him in the ribs. It was daylight. He activated his AR and yawned as he habitually went from merely checking to see what time it was to scanning his email and social media. Quieting his comlink, he opened his awareness to the astral world, only to find Rune floating alongside the car. Both Talisman and his bound spirit turned as Glyde looked at them. A witty barb was on the tip of his tongue when Lily's ping zapped his train of thought. It was requested that the rest of the group attend the meeting with Amaniel. It was still a lot to process. The truth about Lily's mom. Glyde set aside the nagging feeling in the back of his brain that he was missing something. Instead, he focused on the strip mall that they were parked at. It was still under construction, so on a Saturday, the only vehicles in the lot were Talisman's AmeriCar and Fastback's van. The passenger door of the van opened. Nightfall stepped out and stretched as she looked at them. The group chat dinged and a poop emoji appeared. Nightfall smiled at them as she joined Fastback, who was walking towards the van from across the parking lot, his hands laden with flimsy cardboard drink holders. Lily's Mirage turned into the strip mall's parking lot and pulled directly up to the building. She didn't wait for the team to join her. She simply dismounted the sleek motorcycle and entered one of the nearly finished units. Glyde joined his brother and Frenzy as they piled out of the AmeriCar and walked towards the mall. The place they entered looked like it was going to be some sort of a dentist or orthodontist office, judging by the setup of the small rooms just off the main reception area. He followed the others down a short hallway to a cramped conference room, where Amaniel and Mr. Johnson, Aaron, waited for them. Amaniel regarded them all coolly, but her eyes became pure ice as she finally turned her attention to Lily.
Lilandriel.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was your whole name.
Shut up, Matthew.
Hey, it's Clyde. Come on, run.
It pleases me that the rest of you are here. I understand that Lilandriel and James usually handle your negotiations alone, but I insisted on seeing all of you eye to eye.
I hand Lily her coffee first because, you know, she's the boss. Thank you for the prompt payment. It was much appreciated.
You're welcome.
You got my chai tea?
You get fucking coffee.
Like a man.
Okay.
We are discussing your continued employment in my service. Are we not?
That's why we're here.
We're discussing. I'm not aware we agreed.
By being here, you've agreed. I trust that Lilandriel gave you the background details, so I will get right to it. For 1 million new yen each, you are to infiltrate the Mount Shasta complex, penetrate the vault beneath it, find the Andominal, and stop it from opening by any means necessary.
Suicide.
It is a dangerous task, but not as impossible as you think. I can provide you with the details of the complex.
But if it's in ruins?
Seder Krupp controls the mountains and the village. They're sparing no expense in defending it. You'll be equipped with Seder Krupp attire and gear as well as full identities. We can provide detailed maps of all areas, including the vault itself.
Provided by someone who's escaped from there.
Guys, there's another technomancer coming in the door.
And the door opens. And an orc girl walks out. It's Jenna Mayfair.
From the first job.
And she has not aged a day.
So she's still like 12 or whatever?
Well, they've had her on ice.
The girl's eyes were wide with excitement. They had a twinkle to them that made Glyde nervous. And it was when she opened her mouth, something about her voice made his skin crawl.
I can show you the way in. I've been inside the vault. I can show you.
What are you?
Thomas Hunter?
Uh-oh.
Tail gunner, bitches.
Holy fuck. This is not fucking funny.
You have got to be fucking kidding me.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of The Dragon Variation. Theme music by Dot Sound. Background music by Machinima Sound. Written, produced, and directed by Eric Austin. Openly Gamer Theater would like to thank Catalyst Game Labs for allowing us to make this production. Any commercial use of this production is prohibited. Shadowrun is copyrighted property of the Topps Company. Openly Gamer Theater is trademark property of Side Tangent Productions.